If you are listening to this podcast, it means you are searching. Searching for someone who understands you. Someone who gets you. You are yearning to be understood and to belong. Welcome to the Someone Gets Me podcast, where we help smart, talented, and sensitive people navigate an often insensitive world. Let's welcome your host, ambassador, author, speaker, and mentor, Diane Allen. Diane has the experience and knowledge to educate and inspire, as she has been there and understands your unique intensities and their challenges.
Hi, everybody. It's Diane, and I have the most incredible, exciting interview for you today. This is like so thrilling for me. I have with us Leslie Seidel, who is coming to us from Oregon. So we're talking between Oregon and Florida. And she is this amazing relationship expert. She specializes in helping people not only with their romantic lives and their relationships on that intimacy level, but with their work or their profession, or probably just life in general. The moment I met her, I was just inspired by her presence and her ability to listen and hear and her just overall vibe. So you're going to love this interview, I'm sure of it. She also has this great podcast called Spirituality Out Loud. And I suggest that you find it in the show notes or go look it up and listen to it. Not only are her guests amazing, but she's amazing. So I want to introduce you to an amazing person, my new and good friend, Leslie Seidel. Hi, Leslie.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. And if you're looking for the podcast, Diane will be on it. So soon you get to hear her voice as well. So yeah, welcome.
It's very exciting to have you here because, as you know, this podcast is for those bright and sensitive people who sometimes don't fit in or don't feel like they do. And I want to have you on the show because I think you can really help people feel some hope that even though they're sensitive or even though they have other things going on as far as their giftedness, that there is hope for their relationships. So maybe you could share by telling a little bit about yourself and like, how is it that you became a relationship coach and you know, all the things that inspire you from that, the sensitivity part of your life?
You know, I just think that, you know, there's so much to the wounded healer, right? Mm-hmm. And so we teach what we have gone through and the pains that we have. And that's one of the goals. And that's one of the beautiful things, right? I get to hold my clients in this way because I know I've been them and I know that, right? You know, you and I were talking earlier and this idea that people feel alien, people feel less than and different than. And I mean, I never felt normal. I never felt part of, I remember just being like, what? Just tell me what you want from me and I will give it to you. Just like, what is happening here? And I've also just been someone who's extremely sensitive to energy, right? I could walk in a room and really feel the energy of what's happening. And what would happen is I would name it and people would get mad. And I would be like, but wait a minute. Like, I'm just naming what's here. I'm not actually creating it. Like you people, you know, you guys are creating it. I had a corporate job at one point. Was really interesting where I worked for the CEO and I was really low in the totem pole and he had me sit in on every executive team meeting and they were vicious to each other. I mean, I would leave there like crawling out of these meetings, just being like, oh my God. And then he would say at the end, he'd call me into his office and be like, okay, now tell me what happened. And he had no emotional IQ. And no way to read the room. He knew that he felt bad. And there's Stella, my dog. He knew that he felt bad. People knew that they felt bad, but there's no way. Like, they just didn't have that muscle. That's kind of how I feel about it. It's just, you know, an ability to see a layer of the world that some people can't see. You know, I, for so long, went around thinking everyone felt how I felt and could see what I saw. And so when I finally realized like that wasn't the case, right, then it was, you know, some people are happy not paying attention to their emotional life or paying attention to their spiritual life, right? And just that's okay. But I want to create a space and a community and people, you know, people that are drawn to me, people that like me, want to go deep, want to acknowledge the rest of the world, want to acknowledge this other part. I found a way to live in both worlds, right? I talk a lot about both pieces, right? Both the seeing world, the physical world, and the spiritual. How do you hold it all, right? And live successfully. And I found a really easy way, a community of people that see me and support me and love me. And my husband sees me and supports me and loves me. And for me, I was always too much. That was the dialogue. And I've really come to see that they just weren't enough. And it really was the other way around versus some issue with me, some lacking with me.
Right. Like I tell my people a lot, what if what everybody is labeling as your liability is really your strength?
Yeah. You know, and I let it fly and let it weed out people who are not supposed to be with me. And then I get to have a deeply held community where they get to be themselves, they get to be seen, and I get to be seen and held. And yeah, and that's okay.
That's wonderful. It's like, it's funny because you just reminded me of this doctor I worked for a long time ago, and he used to take me when he would go decide if he was going to buy property or not. And when we were done, he'd go, so what did it feel like? Should I get it? And I just naturally said, well, you know, feels good or whatever. Or I'd say yes or no based on whatever. And I didn't have any words for it then. I guess he saw the gift in me before I did. But everybody said, you're so weird, Diane. Like, you just like do these things and you know these things. And now I know it's not weird. But it reminded me of where people just looked at me. And I'm like, well, I just have that vibe. I dial in on that level and it's okay.
Yeah, we bought this house and the house itself is perfect for us, but we needed to do a lot of clearing. And I was talking to someone who's kind of new to this work, and I was saying, oh yeah, well, we've smudged it. I smudged it every day for a week, and I smudged it, and I still smudge it. I mean, I smudge it probably twice a week. And then I said, oh no, and I got black obsidian and I put them in all around the house. And then I put it all around the property line. And then I took salt. And she was like, wait, you did what? And I was like, yeah, like my house needs to be protected. My family needs to be protected. And only that which I invite and only what has been my highest good. And it just didn't occur to me that other people don't live in a realm where they think about that.
Right.
You know, and I do. And I think about, you know, you can't come in here unless you're invited, right?
Right.
And that's all of it. So, yeah.
Yep, that's perfect. Mm-hmm. So I have a question for you. When it comes to people who live from the neck up, like only in their head, mm-hmm. and like maybe they have the ability to see all the different levels, but they've shut it off, maybe because they were made fun of for it or they didn't know what to do or people jumped on them and yelled at them or whatever, and they shut that part off. And so they retreated into that head up living because mm-hmm. that's what the world reinforces, especially, mm-hmm. you know. What are some things that you might say that maybe you've learned along your path or ideas you would have for some people who might be listening, who might be thinking, you know, well, I don't even know what they're talking about or how to even get from stuck in my head to any kind of emotional or spiritual connection? Like they know it's there, but they can't get there. Like what would you say to maybe give some encouragement to help bridge that for somebody?
I get it. I'm you. I hear you. I had access to the emotional realm, the spiritual realm, the mental realm, and zero access to my body. And I didn't even really know it. I would hear people talk about things and I still have a really hard time. It's not my natural state. You know, for a long time, if it hurt between anywhere in my stomach, regardless of what day of the month it was, I would say I had cramps. Like I didn't have access to information from my body. And the body is such a beautiful barometer to what's happening to us. And, you know, and so I would feel bad and someone would say, well, did you eat something? And I'd be like, I don't know. You know, it took a long time to learn. And what I could also say is I married someone who's deeply in his body and he's a gardener and an artist and he is so grounded and I love it. I love being around him. I love that he grounds me. It feels so good. And so if you want to get in touch with your body, you do grounding things, right? So you could get really out there and do chakra meditations, and you can do all of these things. Or you could go garden. You can go for long walks in deep woods and leave your phone in the car. For your emotions, there's, for me, nothing better than pools and oceans and water, and just spend time, take a hot bath, you know, and these are all fun. So, right? Like, right. It's not even bad homework. My homework assignment to you is get a jacuzzi, right?
Right.
You know, and just turn all of the head stuff off and feel. And one of the things, I just gave this assignment to a client today, when in my head, I need to get out of some kind of a repetitive thought, right? I can't get out of it. I go for the five senses. I look around the world and I come up with something that I can see, something that I can taste, something that I can feel, something that I can hear, right? And you come up and you start to say it. I try to get weird, like, what would the painting taste like, right? But it's an access to getting in your body and being present now versus the dialogue right. In your head. And so that's a quick and easy way. I call it changing the channel.
Yes.
Right? And how do we change that channel? How do we get in our body? The other thing is, I try to experience your middle toe. Like, try and feel your middle toe on the ground.
Right.
It's hard. Like, you have no choice but to put your attention through your body to get there.
Right.
And then breathe. Deeply, deeply breathe. Is that helpful?
Yeah. Oh, that's a wonderful suggestion. And I'm glad you said the breathe part, because I was just speaking to a client yesterday who I've been working with for quite some time. And he goes, you just can command a room and then all of a sudden you'll just dial in and say, breathe, will you? And I'm like, because I can feel it when you're holding your breath. And if you're not breathing, you're not fully alive. You're just sucking in enough air to keep the organism going, but that's not living. And that deep breath is so important, and really allowing oxygen to get in our body. And that means we have to relax it enough and not be so, you know, ramped up or tight.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad that you mentioned that. So now all the people who are listening, who hear me say it all the time, we have other evidence, you know,
yeah.
Breathing, air is your friend.
Take that moment now. Take that moment now. You can do it. It doesn't have to be a 30-minute meditation.
Right.
I invite you to take 3 deep breaths right now as you're listening. Welcome. You know,
right.
It's awesome.
Right. It's awesome. And you can do 3 deep breaths at any time, anywhere. And you don't even, people don't even have to know you're doing it. Like, you're in a room of people or whatever, you know, you have to make a big production out of it. You can just be in the moment and be all together. So how about people who are sensitive and overly emotional? Like, you know, they're from the other side, they're equally out of control because they're not frozen and not in their mm-hmm. body. And I loved your idea about paying attention to your middle toe. Like, that's a really neat one. And those are, like, in the moment, really good practical things that help get people, especially the overexcitable people, like, to dial in a little bit. So what about the people that are just way out there, like, you know, that are so emotional and so into everything? I'm getting goosebumps saying this. So you must really need to be talking about it. What about them? What are some things that you might, or that maybe you even experienced yourself, or you know people have, that could help them, like, not be so feeling out of control, whether they are or not, you know, like, really way out there.
Yeah. First, I want to say, I honor you. I honor you. Our world, our society does not honor this. And part of the reason I believe that they are like that, that I am like that, is because everyone else is opted out, right? Someone's got to hold the emotion. And that's why I have so much of it. And if everyone else would, like, take up their own little place, then I wouldn't have to hold it for so many people. And I just stopped making it bad. I stopped apologizing for it. I stopped, you know, and so for me, I move energy by crying, and it makes a lot of people uncomfortable, and I don't care anymore. So there's two different things. One, which is honor it, right? Honor who you are, honor this tool you have to start to use. And then if you are out of control, because we need balance. We just need balance. And so if you are out of control, absolutely do the grounding. You need to meditate. You do need to get planted in this world, but you also need to release some of it, right? So it's following this relief. My son was really sick and it was hard. He's fine now. And so I had to go to all of these doctor's appointments and do all of these things. And so they were saying really scary stuff, you know, and this, he would have to get an MRI, which meant he was 18 months old. So they had to knock him out. And here would come this team of people I've never met. And I'm supposed to hand over my little child and trust that they're going to keep him safe. And so they would be talking to me and I would just be crying. And they would be like, well, you know, I mean, is this too hard for you? I'm like, no, this is a disturbing conversation and I'm having a disturbed reaction. Don't worry about my crying. I can still hear you. Let's move on, right? Like,
right.
There's nothing to fix here. It is a normal emotion. You have this range of emotions and we've decided happy is okay, right? Like, that's it. You're allowed to be a little aggressive and angry if you're a male, right? But then there's this other emotions that we've totally disowned, thrown in the shadow and pretended that he didn't have a purpose. They have a purpose. They have a deeply held purpose. Honor that. And so find your space in that. If you are out of control, start to make a list of what makes you feel in control. So for me, it was nature always, my dog. I like a weighted blanket. You know, I didn't know a weighted blanket was a thing, but I would find that I needed people to hug me when I was having a really intense feeling. And some people hate it. So, right, you're either one of those, you either hate it or you love it. Right. And I go around testing my friends and I would lean on their shoulders and just put my weight on their shoulders. And some people go, ooh, get off me. And others are like, oh, that feels great. Great. That's great information, right? And so I like a weighted blanket. When I'm deeply upset, if I was in therapy, I would grab all the pillows, right? Put them on me. And so you start collecting your soothing thing, the things that make you feel grounded, the things that feed you, and then also give you the outlets you need. You know, if you have too much anger, go to the batting cages. Oh my God, women, go to the batting cages. These are the best things ever. So satisfying. The crack and the energy and they lob these easy balls at you. And oh, so if you've got anger stuff, oh, please, batting cages, right? So I found outlets that are safe and right. Anger's good. It is my body and my being saying in the world, according to Leslie, the answer is no. And I get to say that.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
So hopefully that's helpful, but those are the answers of ways that you get to attend to yourself. Learn, get a bag of tricks, a bag of tools, try out mine and go for things that may or may not, you know, also work for you. I mean, I'm sure you've got a bag of tools.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And so try mine out, try yours out, ask other people and then say, oh, okay, this, I don't like weighted blanket. I like this, you know, go with it.
Right. Like I like weighted blankets mm-hmm. and if I have weight on me when I'm sleeping, I feel better. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know a weighted blanket was a thing.
Right.
And then I found out it was a thing. I'm like, okay, I have that thing and I like it. And there's all those types of things. I like baths too. You know, water. When you were talking about the water, like in Florida here, we're right on the beach. And, you know, sometimes it's just go escape to the water for a little while and put your toes in the sand and be fully immersed in whatever nature is. You know, I tell everybody I have selenophilia, which means a deep respect and connection to the moon. And so when the full moon is out, or really any moon that's bright enough, I'm like outside and, you know, it's hard to come under a roof. Like I just want to go be there with the moon and that grounds me though. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I always am working with my people on it are many of the things you said, and you said a lot of different things too. So I'm really glad about find what works for you and it's all okay. You know, our emotions are simply the energy that tell us we're alive and they're meant to flow in like a sine wave. Mm-hmm. So stuffing them or putting them away or pretending like they don't exist is denying a part of us. And that then negatively impacts and impairs our relationships all the way around with ourselves, with others. And it makes it difficult to have any level of connection or intimacy with someone when 3/4 of our being is shoved in a closet somewhere. You know, you're only coming to the table with 10%, you know?
They will be heard, you know, and they will be heard. And and so the problem happens that I see, that I did for myself, as well as I see with a lot of my clients, is that you deny, you deny, you deny. And then they come out as road rage, and they come out as other things. And so instead of me having a appropriate response to you right now, you get 10 years of unmet needs coming at you. And instead, you know, it's taken me so long, 20 years of doing this work, where now when something bad happens, I can just have that experience and not have all the backlog of the decades of unfelt emotions. Just have, you know, I think about, I have a 3-year-old, right? When he is upset to the core of his being, everything on the ground. Oh my God. And then he's done. There's no more. He's not resentful. He's not angry. He's not mad at me today for some of the ice cream he didn't get last night, because he felt it, because he moved it through him completely. That is what we need to learn to do in an appropriate way at appropriate time.
Right. And you teaching your son that is stopping the cycle that we're in this culture of denying and not allowing our feelings to be and not allowing our spiritual connection to be. And so because of all the work you've done and all the things you've done for your own well-being, you're passing on that health to your child versus passing on all the dysfunction, you know? So sometimes those emotions that come at us, you know, that somebody could do if it's triggered, is not only theirs, but it's what's given to them from their parents or whatever. I call it a tolerance break, because it's like, you know, they're carrying around this heavy weight, and then all you need is that extra straw, and it's full all out. And it's, you know, and it's, sometimes it's not just them. Sometimes it's intergenerational. And, you know, when it feels bigger than you, you tend to like want to stuff it more, which is the opposite of what we should do, you know?
Yeah,
exactly. So that's so, so important to realize, to stay in the flow, that if we stay in the flow, things work better, which is why I like water. I think water and being willing to be in the seasons, you know, it's all okay. Like even here, we don't really have seasons like you do there, but it's a little bit of season. I don't have the air conditioning on now, and typically it's on, we're not to heat or anything, but you know, it's one of those things like, oh, I can open the window so, and I feel the fresh air more and things like that, instead of the very hot summer heat. But it's just being willing to be in whatever the season is of our lives and our emotions.
Yeah.
Right.
It's hard. It's hard. You know, we're entering fall and we're in fall full swing, and I can feel the pull of winter, right? The dark, dark days and the constriction of it, and you're supposed to have times of rest. I'm supposed to have the restrictions, and it's just that I don't want to, right? I want to always expand. I want to always feel joy. I want to always feel good, 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 good. And that's not a way to live. And so by honoring it all, I get to have it all. And so I get to honor this winter and honor the solstice and feel the deep cold. Oh, sweetie, come on in, come on over. You'll get some cold. You'll get a season, all right.
I'm coming into summer.
Exactly.
And it's important to honor that, you know, the winter is that time to hibernate, to go within, to kind of bring things in, so that as the spring emerges, we're poised and ready for the emerging. So, you know, if we don't honor the seasons and we're happy, 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 joy, joy, joy all the time, or people who are always anxious all the time, or people who are always angry all the time, if we try to stay stuck in one place, then we never get that full experience of all of life, you know? And like a lot of people here are like all complaining because it's dark earlier now and all that. And I'm like, I don't like it when it gets dark earlier, and I appreciate it, and it's okay with me and on that level, even though I still like to have the sun out more. It's okay.
I mean, I grew up in Southern California, and so the difference now, one of the things I really notice is how, because it was so consistently 70 degrees, right? So I lived in Santa Barbara and I lived in the ocean and all this stuff. And so I appreciate it now. Spring is like, oh, let's go outside. Like, we are so excited. It was 50 degrees this weekend and it was like 90. We were just like, everyone was running around, getting outside. It was so warm to us. We were like, yay. And so there is something to be said for the price, right? And the acknowledgement and the lack. And then I appreciate it more. Cause when I lived in 70 degrees all the time, I was like, whatever, I'm staying in today.
Right.
I didn't appreciate it.
Right. I had a friend move down here from Indiana and every time the sun was out, which was every day, I was like, let's go do something. I'm like, it's okay. We're going to have the sun tomorrow. It's going to be okay. We're in Florida. Yeah. We're going to have sun. And it took her probably living down here 4 or 5 years before that whole thing shifted. And since I was raised here, I haven't seen it a lot, but I appreciate when you're saying that. I'm like, yeah, that's how it is. But I'm just like, oh, okay. Well, the sun's out. It rained yesterday. We're all like, wait a minute, it rained.
What is falling from the sky?
It's a good day for ducks, you know, one of those things. When you're talking about putting together your intellectual movement, because you're a fast thinker too, like me and all of us, being willing to be like in your emotions at the moment, which is so key and so powerful, because we are in such a society that says not to do that. And that's where all diseases, you know, we need to really get that flow going. And then you're spiritually connected as well, which is, I think, required for all of us to be well-rounded, is to allow all of us to come together. What are some things that you find particularly useful in your day-to-day life that help you kind of keep that equilibrium going? You know, you have your family, you have a great career, you have all of these things. And how do you get, what are some things that you do to kind of maintain that equilibrium for yourself, you know, just kind of on a day-to-day thing?
Well, I find that as soon as I get out of whack, because I'm sensitive, it becomes very apparent and I get slammed, right? So if I don't eat regularly, if I don't sleep well, right? I have a 3-year-old, so I now know vividly exactly how valuable sleep is. And, you know, so there's all of these like physical activities that I do, right? The hungry, angry, lonely, tired. And it's just so easy to see that, you know, the spiritual life, I have done everything in my power and searched and studied so many religions. And I can't get away from the fact that meditation is needed. And if you could find me a way to do this without meditation, please let me know, because that's the only way. You have to get still. You have to get quiet. I resist it, right? I am a super active human being. And so it's hard. And I can see the difference. My life is night and day between meditation and not meditation. And I need it to connect, to get quiet, right? To listen to my insides, you know? And some of it is, I mean, so cliche, but they're cliche for a reason, right? So these gratitude lists, right? It's November, gratitude month, right? And this idea that like, but it's not about, here's my list, right? I'm grateful for my house and my dog and my blah, blah. It's about knowing both, like really deeply feeling, you know, when my kid was sick, it's such an extreme story, so that's an easy way to go there. My kid was really sick. I also saw how much I was held. We had amazing medical care. My doctor gave me her cell phone number, her home phone number, her email address. She was on every single thing with my child. We had this team of people wrapping around my kid. And I got to be so grateful that I had a job, that my husband had a job, that we could be in the hospital with him every single day for 6 days, right? That we had like all of the ways that I am held, and to deeply hold that, right? So even in times of pain and I don't like it, you know, like I work with a lot of people who are single, and one of the things I say all the time is, look, if you're not happy on the bus, you're not going to be happy in the limo. You're not happy single, you're not going to be happy in relationship. And it doesn't mean you can't desire a relationship, because that's fine. I'm just saying that that relationship's not going to fix everything. And the easiest way to relationship and to the things you want is to live joyously, right? Is to really deeply get into your life. What brings you joy? How do you become as authentic? Not acting out, right? Not telling, oh, well, I'm being authentic, so I'm going to be mean to you and tell you how I hate you or whatever, right? It's not what we're talking about.
No, that's not it.
Yeah, we're talking about being who I am. Mm-hmm. You know, I read tarot cards. I pull runes. I meditate. I love to talk about spirituality. Like, all of those things are very, very true. And where do I find connection with those around me? I think I answered your question. I'm not sure anymore.
Well, but you did answer it, because it was about how do you kind of keep the flow going day to day. Mm-hmm. And it's what I heard you say was being in the flow of things and being connected and meditating. And if you could find a way not to meditate, you would, but that is required. And there's different kinds of meditation, you know, walking in nature and floating in water and meditating, all those different things. But to get in that quiet stillness within us, you know, because you have a physical overexcitability, you like to move a lot. And that's a trait of gifted people. And a lot of the people who are gifted have that. That's what makes them such great athletes and all those things. And you can still be quiet on the inside and fulfill that physicalness, which by hiking or swimming or walking or something. So there is a way to be able to meditate and attain that inner peace, that quiet, so that the answers can come and we can see the road more clearly. And then we have a deep relationship with ourselves, and with that deep relationship with ourselves, that expands out into the world. You know, that's what I heard you say.
Yeah.
And I think that, that was very valuable and wise, advice, I think, because I think so often, in fact, that quote you just said about the bus and the limo, that's what's in the book, the Daily Meditations for Visionary Leaders book. Leslie's quoted in the book, and that's the quote you gave me, and I loved it. I still love it. It's like, because it's true. If you're not happy, however you are, where you are, you know, kind of blooming where you're planted, so to speak, then nothing outside of you is going to make you happy, because it's about living from the inside out.
Yeah. I mean, some of the most miserable people I know, I lived in Santa Barbara and Montecito, which is one of the wealthiest, most beautiful places. And there were some deeply, deeply people in a lot of pain, because they did what they were supposed to do. They made the money. They got the success. They did everything that society told them to do to be happy. And then they just were like, now what? And they, you know, it's like, I got it, you know? Right. And now what is the same thing I'm going to tell the person riding the bus.
Right. Now what?
Exactly.
Right. That's why when people are newly retired, there's such a spike in addictive behavior and addictions and things, because I did everything. I had a client and he looked at me and goes, I did everything. I got the PhD. I took care of the family, got everything, handled it all, made all the money. And then what? Now what? You know, he started really having some hard time with addictive things. And then fortunately he caught it early and we turned it around, but he really had a hard time with who am I and what am I doing? And I did all the things right by society and I'm unfulfilled and I'm not happy. And everybody, including his whole family, was paying a price for it. Mm-hmm. And he just was doing what he was taught to do. And so we had to really look at what that paradigm is and does it serve us or not, you know?
Yeah, beautiful.
So that's true. So I'd like to take a little bit of time and talk a little bit about your podcast and about the vision for that, because I think it's a natural outgrowth of what we're talking about your ability and the work you've done on yourself and your stand, you know, relationship-wise, to be authentic and be connected and allow all parts of us to flow together, which is one of the things that draws me to you, because you are multidimensional and multifaceted. You're not somebody who looks at something through one little lens and then that's all there is to it. And I think for gifted people, and I think for sensitive people particularly, that is so important, is to be able to have that multi-dimensional view. You know, like gifted people are multi-potentialites. There's so many things going on. And so your podcast is a great outgrowth of your own personal evolution from what I experience. I listen to each episode and I absolutely love them. And I love the diversity in them. And I find myself thinking and I find myself going, I didn't know that. Seeing things from such a grander perspective and a subject that I'm very well studied in, and I spend a lot of time, and there's always more, which excites me. Your podcast is called Spirituality Out Loud, which I have a sign in my house that says laugh out loud. So when I heard that loud, I'm like, wow. And it's amazing. And so will you just share with our listeners a little bit about kind of the inspiration, what made you want to do it anyway, and kind of like how it all got started?
Yeah. So it got started actually 10 years ago from a man who is a artist, and he has a new film out. And he was just one of these like really out there artists. And I went to one of his shows, and he had a lot of visual art, and so he would film people on the streets. And I was talking to him one day and I said, oh, what you need to do is go out and start interviewing people about their spiritual beliefs. What do they think of God? What is their description of these things? How do they connect? Because I just so deeply believe that we are more alike than we are different, that we use different words, but that there's so much similarity there. And he looked at me and he said, no, why don't you do it? And I was like, and he's like, I'll film it with you. And I was like, are you kidding? And so we went out into the streets of San Francisco with a camera. And by the way, I didn't occur to me, but people don't like to be filmed. Just in case you're wondering, if you have a camera and you walk up to them and say, tell me about God, with a camera, people are not really open to that. I was like, I love this topic. So one thing leads to another. Fast forward 10 years, and talking to a friend about podcasting, and I love podcasts. I listen to them all the time. I listen to yours. I really enjoy them. I have for a really long time. And she said, well, I want to start a podcast. And I said, if I started a podcast, this is what it would be about. Hearing people's spiritual stories, how they evolved over time, and what their experience of it is. Right? That's the beautiful thing. No one is trying to convert you. A majority of these conversations, if they happen in the real world, are me with my opinion and my position trying to make you join my position. And that's not what this podcast is. This podcast is about saying, here's what happened to me. That's it. Here's what happened to you. Here's what happened to the famous guy over there. Here's what happened to the non-famous guy over there. And this is what happened in the beginning with my parents' influence and what would happen, how it shifted over time, always when you hit puberty, something shifts, right? And then where we are now, and how did they get there? Who are their teachers? What are their beliefs? And just to hold a space for that conversation. And so that I get to hear, when we talk about spirituality, it's this thing, right? And I will come on here and say, well, I'm a spiritual teacher, and let me tell you how beautiful it is, and I'm so spiritual. And what is not, what doesn't come across is me laying on the floor sobbing, ugly crying, saying, help me. Why? How? How do I do this? And fighting. I fight with my higher power all the time. Screw you. I've done what you asked, and this is what you're giving me. I'm mad. And luckily today, my higher power can totally take it. Right? Like, he's strong enough. He gets it. As long as I'm in the conversation, as long as I'm engaging, that's all that matters. And so I'm passionate about that. I'm interviewing a Sikh person in a couple days. I know nothing. I don't even know what a Sikh is, honestly. And I'm like, okay, like, great. You know, my mother-in-law is going to come up, and she is Catholic, and she is beautiful. I mean, her faith is astounding. Her dedication and how her soul is fed by that religion is beautiful to me. And that is what I care about. That is the conversation I want to have between people. That is what I want to hear your story and hear her story. And, you know, because you hear it. I'm a recovered Catholic, right? You hear that so many times. I want to have the voice of the woman who, when we were trying to get pregnant, who was doing the rosary every day for 90 days, praying to Mother Mary for our baby. Thank you. Beautiful. She's doing what I'm doing as I'm praying during my birth to my ancestors to come help bring this baby into the world. She's got her rosary in the corner. Thank you. Right? And so I can talk about this all day. I love this conversation. And I think it's important. I think it's an important conversation to have. And so I welcome you to anyone that's listening to come listen and tell me what your story is. Tell me what you think. Tell me what's new, what's not new, right?
Right.
I just like it.
Yes. It's amazing. And you're so animated right now. It's not even funny, but that's the way it is. Cause it's like your passion and I have goosebumps listening to you. And I think that's one of the reasons why I thought it was so important to have you on my show, because if you really pay attention to how sensitive you are and how really brilliant you are and emotionally together and you're willing to be in the flow and just handle messy life and pretty life and joyful life and everything, that I think you're one of those valuable teachers. You're one of those thinkers, which is why you're in my book, which is why you're on my podcast, and why I would suggest to anybody who really wanted to learn more about spirituality out loud and learn neat things, but also to connect with you. So Leslie's website is coachleslie.com, which of course you all put in the show notes and everything. And you reach out to her and let her know that you heard her on this podcast and you can ask her questions. She is a really wise soul that has really brought a light to the world. Like even just anytime I talk to you, Leslie, I come away more alive and more bright than I already was, you know? And so I want to thank you for being here with me and for sharing your wisdom, your passion, and your dedication to the betterment of all of us. You know, really, thank you.
Absolutely. It is an honor. And I feel the same way about you. And please drop me a line. I'd love to hear from anyone. And thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So until next time, everybody, don't forget to keep your face toward the sun so the shadows fall behind you. See you soon.
Are you tired of searching for someone who understands you? Join our Facebook group, Someone Gets Me. In this group, you will be able to connect with others who are intense, sensitive, smart, talented, and wanting to be understood. Diane shares her insights and teachings, and you can connect with others. Join today.